the deepest, darkest grooves, to the backwoods swamp where you hit the bottom, from the inside of your casket to the fears lodged deep inside your subconscious. It's time for a big, scary show.
This is Alex Wellman from Wintinges Creek, and you're listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hi guys, this is Bobby Arell from Decime Designs, and you're listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hi, this is Christy Ray.
And this is Joe Stauffer.
And you're listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hey, this is Brandon from 100 Acres Manor in Pittsburgh. You're listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hi, this is Joey Adams. I'm with the Amarillo Scare Grounds. You are listening to The Big Scary Show.
Asylum Haunted Attraction here on The Big Scary Show. Come see us in Chautauqua, Kansas.
You're listening to The Big Scary Show with three big scary men and one that wears more makeup than I do.
This week on This Old Haunted House. Special correspondent Vasher checks in and he's going to talk about Chicago haunts. Badger has the news to freshen up any living area. And he's going to be talking with Stephen Colbert regarding Haunt X. We'll go to the backyard with the unknown scare actor and he's going to dig up some new fears on Face Your Fears. We're going to pop into that deserted closet and find out what Storm has to rant about this week on A Haunt Minute. And every zombie man cave needs to have some good tunes. So we're going to talk to a professional musician, Jerry Vane, a haunstrumentalist or haunt rocker, depending how long you've been listening. And he's going to find some great, amazing, spooky, scary, awesome, frightening tunes for you. We're going to freshen up that dining room round table of terror with some amazing accents as the ghosts speak with Bobby Arell of Decimated Designs and Alex Lohman of When Hinges Creak. They'll be talking all things props and upcoming shows, so definitely check that one out if you need to refreshen that round table. We're going to show you how to repair a quick outlet with a gruesome giveaway, ways to win more stuff. All that and much more on This Old Haunted House, only on this week's episode of The Big Scary Show.
Transworld's Halloween Inn Attraction Show returns to the Americas Center in St. Louis, Missouri, March 19th through 22nd, 2015. The Transworld Halloween and Attraction Show is the only industry trade show of its kind in the world. There is no other show that has as many exhibitors and industry-related products. For the past 19 years, Transworld's annual Halloween and Attraction Show has created the marketplace for the haunted house industry. This show is a must-attend event if you are thinking about opening or currently operate a haunt, corn maze, farm, pumpkin patch, paintball field, family fun center, amusement park, zoo, aquarium, Halloween retail store, or anything Halloween related. We have everything you need to make your Halloween season a success. Each year, the show continues to grow with new exhibitors and new product, and more buyers on the show floor. The Halloween and Attraction Show combines the products and knowledge of over 300 exhibitors that you need to see this March. See you at the Transworld's Halloween and Attraction Show.
And hello yet again, foolish mortals. This is Eric Weister, special correspondent for the Big Scary Show, bringing you yet another installment from the Weister's Haunted Vista. With Valentine's Day now just a scary memory, Transworld nearly upon us, The Walking Dead back in full swing, and spring right around the corner, well, all you home hoarders know what that means, right? Time to break out the carving tools, PVC piping, styrofoam, dry lock, and pray your spouse does not kill you in your sleep for wrecking the household budget, trashing the furniture, or just driving them insane with our all-consuming obsession. With all those lovely thoughts flitting about, I thought I'd revisit old habits and take us all for a spin out on the Terror Turnpike and visit my hometown of Chicago to explore a remarkable haunted attraction that has patrons just dying to get in. And yes, groan all you want to, I said it. I'm referring to the 13th floor haunted house located in Melrose Park, Illinois. Their website is 13thfloorchicago.com. The 13 in the address is numeric, and they have presences on both Facebook and YouTube. Just type in 13th Floor Haunted House Chicago in either case. The 13th Floor Entertainment Group is the nation's largest haunted house production, management, and promotion company. Already producing 6 of America's top haunted houses each year, with the 13th Floor Chicago being the 7th major attraction for this growing industry heavyweight. At 13th Floor Chicago, you are entertained from the moment you arrive to the moment you leave, if you survive. All variety of creatures and fiends interact with you while you wait in line. But enough of all of that, right? What did we think of it? First of all, their set pieces are outstanding. There is an amazing amount of detail and craftsmanship invested into this place. I won't give too much away, but the first third of the trip just drips with amazing Gothic flourishes, including a crypt and cemetery section completely illuminated with black lights and ghouls popping out at you when you least expect it. Pay special attention to their catacombs as well. These things are just amazing and go on for what seems like forever, and there are plenty of traps for the unwary. A fair warning here. Claustrophobic should avoid this haunt. It's tight and cramped in a lot of spots, and may well set off unwanted phobias. I'm fine with that sort of thing, but it was still pretty cramped in there for me as it was. The actors were fantastic full characterizations, and these folks were dedicated. A very enthusiastic bunch indeed. Keep your eyes peeled for a couple of very hungry werewolves, some really well-done vampires, and the usual assortment of ghouls and raving maniacs. And this brings me to the only gripe I had with the place. Through no fault of the owners of the establishment, but due to an enormous turnout, we really went through the place at top speed. Our friends and I went in early October and the lines were just huge. A good 3 hour or so wait, easily, and they just kept coming as we waited our turn. With those kind of huge crowds, you have to keep the lines moving at a very fast clip, so yeah, the experience did feel a bit rushed, and I think we missed a few things along the way, but overall, that was the only negative. In regards to admissions, there are 3 degrees to the ticket prices. General admission, fast pass, cuts the wait time in about half, and skip the line, off to the head of the class you go. The prices ranging from about $25 to $50. We chose the skip the line option that night, and trust me, by that point, from our perspective, it was the only option. There is plenty of free parking, but it can fill up quite fast, as well as the neighboring streets and alleyways. I think the object lesson here is that if you're going to attend this haunt, go early, either in the time of the month or the time of the evening, because even in its first year, this place was a huge hit, and they're only going to get bigger this season. There's a reason for this, but before we saunter on, a little bit of background here. Chicago haunts have a certain atmosphere to them. It's hard to explain, really. It's like a Chicago dog or Chicago pizza. There's a flavor that you just can't duplicate anywhere except for there. I lived in the Windy City until I was in my early 20s, and while the haunt industry was rapidly changing at that time, the lion's share of spots were pretty dismal. Most of the attractions were run by JCs, a charitable organization whom, while they do remarkable work in and of themselves, in terms of their haunt expeditions in those days, file them under quite lame. Cardboard sets, uninspired actors, and a generally rushed atmosphere. None too convincing. On the flip side, you could always find the independent haunts if you looked for them, usually on farmers' fields and the like, and they were always something to see. Imagination ran wild and was usually peppered with the creature features of the day. On the home haunter side, yard haunts were all over the place in those days, even then. I remember a brief article on the local news in 76 of a man who had turned his front yard into a haunted attraction, with crank ghosts, small-scale animatronics, and all sorts of mechanical wonders floating around. Chicago has always had a distinct love for Halloween, haunted houses, and horror movies. Delving again a bit back into my past, the 70s and early 80s were a hotbed for horror and sci-fi in the Windy City. There were literally tons of monster movies running every weekend. With shows like Creature Features, the original Svengoolie, the late Jerry G. Bishop, Chiller Theater, the Monstrous Movie, Thing Theater, the Monster Rally Movie, and of course, 1979 brought the son of Svengoolie, a.k.a. Rich Coase. His show launched on June 16, 1979, the day after my 12th birthday and the best present I got that year. Rich is still going strong on MeTV, now all grown up, just simply known as Svengoolie, but more on him in a bit. For a good example of the popularity of horror films in the Windy City in that time period, in 1981, Son of Svengoolie ran The Bride of Frankenstein one Saturday night against The Love Boat and Fantasy Island and won the local time slot. Eat your heart out, Tattoo. Trust me, this was no small feat. Both of those mainstream shows were immensely popular at the time, and for a small upstart UHF channel to win the ratings block over both said plenty. Without Sven, I would have missed out on a lot of terrific horror flicks. Titles like Dementia 13, Blackula, Die Monster Die, and The Haunted Strangler, just to name a few. I also saw Universal classics like Dracula's Daughter, The Bride of Frankenstein, and The Invisible Man for the first time here, plus a lot of the Roger Corman, Vincent Price, Edgar Allan Poe flicks, including Mask of the Red Death and The Tomb of Ligeia, which, incidentally, was the first time Sven mentioned me on his mail segment, so yeah, that one has a special place in my heart. Add into the mix in those days ceaseless weekday afternoon reruns of The Munsters, The Addams Family, and Godzilla-rated stuff like Ultraman and Johnny Sacco, and life was good. Dare I say it, I wouldn't be the man I am now if it weren't for Chicago TV. I am not so sure that's such a good thing after all, but hey. This brings me back around to the subject of Chicago haunts. This city and outlying suburbs have so many to offer, you'll never be able to take them all in during one season. There's the Statesville Haunted Prison in Joliet, Aurora's Basement of the Dead, Zombie Containment out on Navy Pier, and on and on and on. Even those haunts who have passed into the great beyond seem to just rise from their graves to haunt the populace once again. Melrose Place legend Dream Reapers evolved into Carnival in Hoffman Estates last year, while Villa Park award-winning favorite The Asylum Experiment may have gone on to its final reward, but don't count owner Mike Skedicek out quite yet, folks. 2015 may hold a surprise for the area. Enough said. Things to do in Chicago. Oh, jeez. This is my hometown and there is so much available, you'll literally never be able to take it all in one sitting. In terms of the essentials, I'd have to say head downtown and do the museum circuit. The Field Museum, Shedd Aquarium, Adler Planetarium, and the Museum of Science and Industry will get you started. Want more? Visit Navy Pier and take a boat ride along Lake Michigan, then head on over to the top of the Sears Tower for a breathtaking view of the city. Other spots worthy of your time include the Art Institute, the Chicago Historical Society, and Brookfield Zoo. Oh, and by the way, become familiar with the public transportation systems downtown. They will save you a lot of cash because the cabs out there are expensive. Incidentally, anyone who is planning a jaunt up to the Windy City, if you want pointers or ideas, feel free to give me a hoot and holler. We'll be happy to help you out. Oh, and for the record, I get asked about this a lot. Chicago pizza is the best in the country, bar none. New York City doesn't hold a candle to it and can bite it. Get the picture? Enough said on that. So, bringing this all to a conclusion here. First of all, is this haunt safe for kids? Are you kidding me? It's long, intense, and genuinely scary. This is not for the faint of heart or small children. To quote Dead Acres Haunted House in Columbus, Ohio, if you're wondering if your kids are too young, then your kids are too young. Leave him at home. And that goes for babies. It ruins our good time to turn around and see your freaked out infant. What's wrong with you? I'm giving the 13th floor Chicago 5 missing body parts out of 5. While in the Windy City, give this one a whirl. I dare say you won't be disappointed. Got a comment, idea, or something you'd like me to take a look at? I can be reached on my Facebook page. Just search for Eric Weister. Or you can write me at ericbssh@gmail.com. I'll be checking it every couple of days, and I welcome any criticisms or suggestions you may offer as well. As ever, check out my Blogspot page, the Weister's Halloween Haunt Journal, for the visual accompaniment to this piece, loaded to the gills with information, photos, and links. Next time around on the Vista. Well, I haven't decided that quite yet. However, I can announce that in the coming months, I'll be starting a series on the Universal Monsters and their long legacies, also pieces on forgotten and underrated yet highly influential horror series like Kolchak the Night Stalker and Darkroom. Remember those? We'll look into the world of Godzilla and his related ilk and their relevance to Halloween and haunting. Also a peek into the world of Doctor Who and the monstrous possibilities therein. And, of course, from time to time, I'll be looking in on must-see commercial haunts across the country that give the best bang for your buck. And, on top of all that, you can expect an interview or two from various haunt masters as well. Stay tuned. It's going to get interesting around here. So, until next time, always remember Svengoolie, whom I can finally watch on a regular basis now because Time Warner added MeTV to their roster. And brush your fangs, comb your face, drink your milk before it clots, and always remember, I hid the body under heavy coercion from Mr. Badger. See you next time.
Well, it's a story as big as the wild hog at the center of it all. Some are saying this is the biggest wild hog ever.
People are seeing a monster of epic proportions.
Bladesman, big ol' monster. On the Big Scary Show.
Mega-sized monster to be captured on.
That biggie, biggie gon' bleed. He got Texas hot stuff, set a track on the moves, and I'm 20 foot high in that tree. He's a big ol',
big ol',
big ol',
big ol' monster. Godzilla ain't got nothing on him. He's a big ol',
big ol',
big ol',
big ol' monster. I want you to ever see him come around here again. That big ol' monster.
Big ol'
monster. I want you to never see him come around.
like some kind of monster.
Announcing the second annual Haunt X Haunters Retreat, April 30th through May 3rd, 2015, at the Circus Circus Convention Center in Reno, Nevada. With 4 days of classes and workshops and a 2-day trade show, Haunt X is an immersive experience with activities taking place 14 hours a day, including a costume ball, cheesy movie night, a paranormal investigation and pub crawl, scary scavenger hunt, and the soon-to-be legendary hospitality suite. For more information, visit www.hauntx.com. That's hauntx.com. We'll see you in Reno.
Greetings, mortals, and anything else listening. Welcome to the Big Scary Show's Deadline News. We start off with some news from one of our sponsors, Screamline Studios, via Facebook. We are officially not going to be at Transworld in St. Louis this year. Unfortunately, owner Jason Blazak hurt himself at work and cannot travel. However, we will have people there representing. If you would like to place an order to pick up at the show, please order online and put Transworld in the comment box. We will compensate the shipping cost for pickup at Transworld only. We do apologize for this. We just want Jason to be up to par continuing his dream, so he needs to rest up along with physical therapy. Thank you for your support and understanding. So be sure to visit www.screamlinestudios.com for more info and to place an order. And of course, the Big Scary Show sends its very best wishes for a speedy recovery. We have this news from the Texas Frightmare Weekend in Dallas. Get ready for an extremely rare appearance by the Grady Twins, Lisa and Louise Burns, who horrify little Danny Torrance and help give identical twins a totally terrifying reputation in Stanley Kubrick's The Shining. The Burns twins join previously announced Kubrick alumni Malcolm McDowell for our May 1st through 3rd, 2015 10th anniversary celebration. Tickets are on sale now at TexasFrightmareWeekend.com. We have this story on a new attraction at Kersey Valley Spooky Woods in High Point, North Carolina. Real Live Escape Rooms, North Carolina's most themed escape room game. Get out within 60 minutes. Kersey Valley Escape is a real-world adventure game which simulates online room escape games, scary and non-scary escape rooms, easy to find location, and a short drive from High Point, Greensboro, or Winston-Salem, North Carolina. In the game, 2 to 12 players are enclosed in our specially designed ghost town themed rooms. They have to rack their brains to solve puzzles and collect clues to escape from the room in a race against time. Escape reality and work as a team. It requires observation, teamwork, creativity, communication, and courage. Kersey Valley offers an alternative form of entertainment, something truly unique in the High Point, Greensboro, Winston-Salem, Raleigh, Chapel Hill, or Charlotte area. Gather your friends and family and make plans to escape to Kersey Valley for an all-new adventure. For more information, visit KerseyValleyEscape.com. We have this news from the Don't Be a Monster anti-bullying campaign and Bloody Mary herself, Bobby Wiener. Don't Be a Monster will auction Bloody Mary herself off at Transworld. All money goes to program Don't Be a Monster's anti-bullying campaign. Win Bobby for your haunt and she will fly to your town and do a big fundraiser and Hands Up Makeup to Die For special effects workshop. You'll also get a jumbo Bloody Mary toolbox filled with Bloody Mary makeup and accessories worth $500. For more information, visit Bloody Mary's Facebook page at facebook.com/Bloody Mary Makeup. Or for more information on the Don't Be a Monster anti-bullying campaign, visit don'tbeamonster.org. We have some news on new music from Alice Cooper. Alice Cooper says he's gathered a who's who of star guests on his upcoming covers album. The original Shock Rocker is working on the record, which will feature versions of hits by The Who, The Doors, Jimi Hendrix, and John Lennon, as well as a number of new tracks penned by Cooper. He describes it as a tribute to his dead drunk friends. Produced by Bob Ezrin, the album has not yet been given a release date, but Cooper suggests it could be out sometime around September of this year, which of course is just in time for Halloween. He tells Eddie Trunk via Blabbermouth, quote, "I can't tell you who's on what right now because it's not going to be released yet, but it's the who's who of everything. It was one of those things where at one point I'm looking around in the studio and I'm going, holy crap, look who's in the studio. The record's in the can, ready to go. Ezrin did the whole thing, and we're even now starting to write for the next album. After that, so we're way ahead of the game right now. I would say it's probably going to be out in September, something like that," unquote. Cooper is currently on the road with Motley Crue as part of their farewell tour. We have this news from 100 Acres Manor in Pittsburgh. Think it's too early to start planning for your haunt? Well, you'd be dead wrong, as it looks like the folks over at 100 Acres Manor aren't content with just having a massive, mind-bending haunted attraction or a unique and one-of-a-kind zombie paintball experience. Nope. They've gone and busted down the door of the escape room concept and are bringing the Pittsburgh area its spin on the weirdness that these things can bring. With short time limits and the adrenaline racing, they can be a challenge not just to get out, but of mastering your own wits on top of whatever they throw at you. Just what are all the details? Well, they don't really know. But with the lunatics running the asylum over at 100 Acres Manor, you can believe it's going to be one hell of a ride. For all the latest information, be sure to follow them at 100acresmanor.com. We have this note for anyone looking to invest in a haunt. How many haunt owners have worked with famed movie directors like Bryan Singer, John Woo, James Cameron, Tony Scott, or Doug Liman? Well, David Barton, a 30-year experienced Hollywood makeup effects artist and filmmaker, has, and he's looking for an investor or financial partner to help fund the completion of his Northeast Ohio haunted house. Barton's attraction is a half-built, sci-fi, horror-themed 16,000-square-foot haunt, constructed in a relatively modern building with updated sprinklers, plentiful parking, and situated on a well-traveled state route just minutes off the freeway. Although designed by Barton, plans have been fully developed by architects with the approval of the county's building department, local zoning, and fire department. The haunt is constructed fully code-compliant, and most of the hard work has been completed on the attraction. And next comes creating the scenery and starting the other creative crafts. But he does need a little help in making this happen in the form of an investor or group of investors. Beyond his own mix of skills, Barton brings a stacked deck of proven friends to help create his haunt. His friends include Hollywood effects artists and techs, as well as an accomplished haunt industry artist, builders, and technicians, both groups having made outstanding contributions to their industries. The collaborative efforts of this creative mix of people will be instrumental in bringing forth Barton's original, theme-heavy, haunted house attraction. The only missing ingredient could be you, a financial partner, or an investor. Interested persons, contact Barton directly at ohiohaunt@hotmail.com for more information. That's ohiohaunt@hotmail.com. And finally, the Big Scary Show would like to wish a very happy birthday to the unknown scare actor who turned the big 5-0 on March 3rd. Happy birthday, old man, and here's to many, many more. Remember, folks, if you have news about the haunt, horror, or Halloween industry, please send it to us at news@bigscaryshow.com, and we'll get it on the air. No news is too big or too small. This concludes this edition of the Big Scary Show's Deadline News. Tired of surfing all over the web to find the latest haunt news? Why sift through hours of those video tube channels trying to find the latest how-to videos? Isn't there an easier way? Of course there is! Introducing HauntersDigest.com. With HauntersDigest.com, just one click will put a world of haunt information at your fingertips. From the latest news, to vendor information, to video tutorials. And don't forget the soon-to-be world-famous Haunt Brief, which takes a deeper look into many aspects of the industry. There's even a directory of over 800 haunted attractions, so you can find the right one for you. Still not convinced? There's even columns written by many experts in the industry covering a wide range of topics. Rumor has it a certain member of a particular podcast might even write for hauntersdigest.com. As an extra bonus, you can follow them on Twitter and Facebook. For more information, visit www.hauntersdigest.com today. One thing only, it is time for the Roundtable of Terror. You know, we took a little break last time doing the HauntCon Roundup, but we are back and at full bore, and can you believe it? Transworld is just a few short days away. Everyone's gearing up for the big trip to St. Louis. Thought we would chat with a couple of people who will be representing their companies proudly at Transworld. So if you're looking for a couple of things, don't know where to get them, maybe a couple of our guests can help you out here. I believe we've had Bobby Arell on the show before. Bobby from Decimated Designs, are you there?
I am.
Way up in North Haven, Connecticut, if I believe. Are you still snowed in?
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty bad.
And where someone who is probably not snowed in, Alex Lohman from When Hinges Creek down in Red Oak, Texas. Alex, are you there?
I am. How is everybody?
Oh, we're doing just spiffy here, including the four Gahosts, including Storm.
Greetings from Hoth. I am at Hoth. The Tauntaun's outside. I literally have to move snow with heavy machinery.
Lovely. The Unknown Scare Actor.
Well, I'm expecting Hoth-like weather tomorrow, so I feel for you, Storm.
The Hauntstrumentalist Jerry Vane.
You guys are going to hate me. It was 81 today. Yeah, I'm wearing shorts.
I don't hate you. We have trees here still. No desert, just snow and tops of trees, but we still have trees.
And no banana spiders or scorpions. My name is Drew Badger, wondering why they don't just name it Cult instead of Hoth, but that's okay. We're talking with Bobby and Alex, a couple of vendors, Decimated Designs and When Hinges Creek. Let's go with Bobby first. Bobby, tell us a little bit about Decimated Designs. What will you be having at Transworld this year?
All right. Well, this is our third year attending Transworld. The first year we started in the Dark Zone, then we moved over to the aisle 500. We're joining that again at booth number 535. We're known best for our giant foam heads. Our most popular are the giant zombie head and the giant skull head. They're a little over 5 feet tall, about the size of a queen-size mattress in width, and they weigh under 15 pounds, which is kind of the crazy part of them. We're coming out with three brand new designs, as well as revamping our skull, adding a couple different options to that, and our zombie. And our next biggest thing that we're coming out with, which is a big secret and being revealed on the Big Scary Show first, are our new line of after scare tools, horn blasters, light blasters, the whole nine yards, portable, electric, long battery life, the most insanely loud things I've ever heard, a must-have for any haunted house.
Sounds awesome. I assume these skulls are more for facades as opposed to just walking around on somebody's costume?
Oh, yeah. These have been used all the time in parade floats, in facades, in any sort of marketing. I mean, they should basically come out of your marketing budget. It's been used for photo ops. They travel across the country at this really big zombie charge, 5K. I mean, they've been everywhere, and people just go nuts. They make great photo ops, great for facades. They're incredible.
Excellent. How about you, Alex? I know you've been there a few years, and you're kind of right there by the door as you walk in, so just kind of look to the left or the right, and you might see the When Hinges Creek booth. What do you do?
We do mostly resin cast pieces. Our company kind of started out as a matter of necessity. just for our own needs here at our own show. I always like little detail pieces like hinges and doorknobs, and things of that ilk. So we started producing them just for our own use, and it just kind of developed into what we do, and that turned into gauges and then light up panels, big castle hinges, gears, all kinds of little random stuff. I mean, every kind of hinge you can think of, or doorknob, refrigerator hardware, anything you need to finish your scenes out. And this year we're kind of continuing what we've always done. Things are getting to be a little bigger and a little more impressive. We've got new panels this year that are about three times the size of the old ones, and instead of just one or two light-up pieces, some of these have six or seven. We're offering a modular gate valve. That's a huge piece that's set up for either three and or four-inch PVC pipe. It can be ordered in a multitude of ways, in addition to some crisis control modules we're going to be selling this year. I taught a class last year on crisis control systems and actor safety and stuff like that, so we thought we might parlay into that just a little bit. Emergency stop buttons and basically little things that light up and go blink and stuff like that.
Oh, very cool. So it's basically like accessory type things.
Pretty much. Decor. We always say that we sell the pieces you need to turn a room into a scene.
Oh, that's a cool little phrase there. Very nice. And
or your haunted hardware store, either one. Take your pick. They both work.
Well, I got to say, I made a purchase from you last year at Transworld, Alex. I bought some dials and gauges, a couple of vacuum tubes for my dentist character, Dr. Decay.
Nice.
How much
do they work out okay for you?
It's actually the backpack's still a work in progress, but I've got your hardware on there, and that part looks good. I'm still working on the rest of it.
Did you have the scaratorium, or were you just wearing outfit?
Oh, no, I wasn't wearing the backpack at scaratorium.
Okay, I couldn't remember.
Well, you mentioned Transworld, Jim, this is a question to both of you guys. How much of your business do you guys get percentage-wise from vending at Transworld?
For us, it's probably almost all of it. It started out initially as we would go to the show, do a little business at the show, and have orders trickling in after the show. And as time has gone by, it's gotten to the point where we're now doing more pre-orders before the show than we used to do after. And then, of course, after is even busier. But pretty much everything we do is tied to Transworld one way or the other. It's about the only trade show we make a point to vend at. Not for any particular reason other than timing for us works out really well, because we can get our orders placed, get our orders filled, get everything shipped out, and then get back to work on our own show here. Some of the other shows are a little bit harder for us timing wise, but everything.
What are your other shows?
Well, I own Reindeer Manor Halloween Park. We're the oldest haunted house in Texas.
Ah.
This is going to be our 42nd season. I'm probably the only guy I know that owns a haunt that's older than he is.
It's impressive.
How about you, Bobby? How much of your business do you do for Transworld?
Well, for us, we probably do about 75% of our business at Transworld. We're also Iwata vendors, and Transworld's a huge part of that for Iwata, for our foam products. But we also started carrying over... we're trying out Midwest for our first time this year at booth 411. And we love going to trade shows. We do a lot of local stuff. We do all sorts of conventions, and we really like having a big local presence. And my partner, Kyle Pasciuti, he does a lot of makeup and stuff for film, TV, and things of that nature. So with him, he loves going to all the local conventions and the Comic-Cons and doing really awesome cosplay work. So Transworld is our biggest show by far, and it's an incredible show. We absolutely love it for networking, for meeting new people, and for sales, but we do so many shows, but Transworld by far blows all of them away. So
you're just in your third year, correct?
Oh, yeah, only in our third year. We got our first official warehouse this year, what we were so excited for. We got a brand-new 3,000-square-foot facility that is just incredibly helpful in producing a lot of the things we do, so we're really excited about that.
Wow. How about you, Alex? How many years have you been going? We're vending.
This will be our third year vending at Transworld.
Were you attending beforehand?
Oh, yeah. No, we've been going to Transworld, I guess, for 6 or 7 years now. We do hit most of the conventions as attendees, but Transworld's about the only one we vend at anymore. But I, as far as just going as an attendee, I just really can't get enough of this kind of stuff. So any opportunity I get to go, I'll generally take.
As far as brand new stuff you've got coming out, what can you give us a taste of?
Man, probably... I think probably our big thing this year is probably going to be the gate valve, and then we have some brand new insulators for like a mad scientist scene that are 10 or 11 inches tall. I think those are probably going to be our big – I think that's going to be the big thing this year. It's a little hard to say, but we're going to have our website updated probably in the next 4 or 5 days. Hopefully by the time this airs, we'll have that all done and squared away and get current on it. We this time of year, we try to get as many new things as we can and then kind of do all our updates at once.
And Bobby, you mentioned something about a new actor tool. Is this a handheld noisemaker type thing?
Oh, yeah.
I'm a little fuzzy about how you're describing it.
All right, so essentially we have 4 models of these new horn guns and actor blasters. They're essentially they're compact electric battery operated blasters. They make different sounds. They include lights. There's a whole bunch of different options for them, and the batteries last for about 8 hours, so they're good to go all night. They get just incredibly loud, and I just tested them in our Valentine's Day haunted house. They were remarkable. They scared every single customer. I really think the actors loved them just as much as the customers did, so everybody really enjoyed them. And we're looking forward to seeing how they do at Transworld.
Awesome. Now, going back to Transworld, with so much of, your business on the line for it, how do each of you address breaking the ice with people coming by the booth? And let's go with Alex first on that one. Really, for us, it's pretty easy. I've never had a problem talking to folks, and generally our display tends to drag folks in. They're curious as to what it is that they're seeing, or they'll see something that kind of catches the eye or something they think is pretty neat. The real trick, at least for me, and something we learned from years of selling kilts all over the nation, was to make sure that everybody in your booth knows your product, knows how to interact, and can represent you well. You certainly don't want anybody in there who doesn't have any clue what's going on, but when they come in, if they have questions, there needs to be a good answer for them.
Awesome. No, definitely good advice. Is, hate going to any type of trade show and seeing the person filling in while the main salesperson's at lunch and they just sit there and stare at you from the folding chair. What about you, Bobby? How do you draw them in and hook them in when they walk by your booth?
Well, for us, Alex hit the nail right on the head with that one. We encourage everybody we see to just come to the booth. Both myself and my business partner, Kyle, are always there. We are always encouraging people to pick up our products, test them, feel them, mess with them. We pride ourselves on making sure that we can educate anybody who comes into our booth on the product, so that way they understand what it is. But really, it's just a matter of just talking to everybody, just saying, "Hey guys, how are you?" The last thing that you can do at any trade show is, just like Alex said, you can't sit in your chair and look at people as they walk by. Standing up is important. Being at the edge of the booth, talking to people, trying to see people you recognize from last year's show, and just going, "Hey, how are you? How did such and such work out for you?" And really just having a genuine interest. And that's one of my favorite parts, is just talking and networking to everybody at the show. So really it's just being open to communication and working out and talking with every single person you can. And always being in your booth. Number one, always be in the booth.
I guess, Alex, you kind of have that unique opportunity because you're just standing right by the doors as the doors open for the first time every day. Do customers generally hit you up first because you're the first person they may see? Or do you notice that they tend to hit the far wall and kind of work their way toward you? Or have you noticed any kind of patterns like that?
In general, we have a bigger rush toward the end of the day as they're making their way back out. Really, the second half of the day is a little busier. When you walk in on the show floor, I mean, obviously you've got Kevin Alvey stuff right there in front of you, and man, that draws them in. When the first thing you see is an 8-foot tall whatever it is, you know, running around like crazy, but we seem to definitely have a pattern of toward the end of the day. And it's my understanding they're moving the front door this year, too, to the doorway further to the right as you go in. So I don't know if that'll affect us one way or the other. I don't think it'll probably affect us a whole lot.
Do you prefer that wall there?
I like it mainly because we only have a neighbor on one side. It kind of frees up the other side, so we end up with that nice corner over there next to the fire exit, which I'm also a huge fan of fire exits, so I like being over there next to those. But it's also really easy for people to find us if they're looking for us in particular, because we can tell them. It's like, look next to HauntBots, or we're going to be right next, you know, one space down from Ghost Ride. So it does make it simple. It makes loading in and out a little bit of an inconvenience because we literally are the furthest point away from the entrance door as far as load in and out goes. But aside from that, it's really not that big of a deal.
Excellent. Well, I do want to remind everybody you are listening to the Roundtable of Terror here on the Big Scary Show with Bobby Arell from Decimated Designs, Alex Lohman from When Hinges Creak. Talking all sorts of trans world goodies with the regular host. We're going to take a really quick break to listen to yet another sponsor who's going to trans world, and we'll be right back.
Good evening. I have been instructed to speak on the behalf of Necrotic Creations. Master and Lady Necrotic have been feverishly working in their lab, creating the most unusual and, I guess, make Halloween props that are not only perfect for any home or pro haunt, but fit for a mausoleum. I mean, museum. Isn't it time you decorate with props that are top quality, durable, and affordable from a company that offers excellent customer service and fast delivery? Remember, your haunted home is a fright without these amazing touches of the macabre to delight your guests each Halloween. Visit them at necroticcreations.com. They are dying to bring all your wicked desires to life. Happy haunting.
And we're back to the Roundtable of Terror, talking with Bobby Arell, Decimated Designs up in North Haven, Connecticut, Alex Lohman, When Hinges Creak down in Red Oak, Texas, both vending at Transworld, and not to forget, the Big Scary Show will be pairing with Haunter's Digest at booth 1715. So please, come by and see us. We're way out in the corner someplace, and we would certainly love the company. But anyway, guys, let me just ask you this question. When it comes to, you know, you guys were talking about, you know, most of your work is at Transworld. I guess you get the bulk of your business. What other kind of marketing techniques do you use to get business? I mean, do you guys have a giant catalog at your booth or anything, or do you rely on the social medias or the websites to do the rest of your business? How do you guys work that out? Start with Bobby.
All right. Well, for us, we always make sure that we have at least a brochure with all of our products, including the best, mostly focusing on the best sellers like our foam heads and our water products, as well as our new horn blasters. always at the booth. We always make sure that every person who comes in gets a brochure. But more importantly, we really go after social media for our business, especially with our latex pieces, which are not the biggest at Transworld in particular. So to move those, we got lucky and got a huge, huge following on Pinterest from our Demon Cowl, which has taken off. And then we also rely on, you know, short clips and movies we do for YouTube and stuff like that. We were just recently featured on Epic Rap Battles of History, and we made a giant Stay Puft Marshmallow Man costume. The video has over 20 million views.
You made
on
that?
YouTube. Yeah, that was us. That was me.
Dude, that video is awesome.
I'm glad you like it. Yeah, we made the
I had no idea that was you.
Yep. Thank you, thank you.
No worries, darling.
We get a lot of business from that. They gave us a huge shout-out. They were really excited at the giant box that came in the background and how they made it kind of video, which also has a couple million views as well. So, I mean, doing stuff like that really helps us promote ourselves as a company as well.
Having seen a few epic rap battles, which one was this? I didn't catch it if you mentioned it.
It's the season 4 opener, Ghostbusters versus Mythbusters.
Nice. I'm going to go check it out.
It's great. It's one of the best ones they did.
I like that.
Okay, I'm going to turn things around a little bit on our guests, and I'm going to ask them this question. I'll start with Alex. What is the one booth that you never fail to visit when you go to Transworld?
I never fail to go by Dapper Cadaver.
Okay. He's got quite an interesting eclectic collection.
He has great stuff, and he has the most beautiful assistant I have ever seen. And you just can't not go and say hello to her.
Oh, thank you.
How about you, Bobby?
Oh, man. I'm going to sound super cliche right now, but I have to go to the Dark Zone. I can't not go to the Dark Zone. I have to go there. I love seeing all the crazy animatronics that are in there. I love Toys and Props. Their booth is always a must-stop for me. I mean, they come out with some wild stuff, and I love, love, love their booth.
Okay. I'm just kind of curious to see what your guys' takes were, and now I've got a better idea of how a vendor sees it from their point of view.
Do any of you guys get influenced by the other vendors out there thinking, oh, my God, I could do something better than that, or holy crap, I'd never even thought of using that in that way before?
There have been a lot of times I've kind of had a nugget of an idea in my head, and I'll walk around the show floor, and I may see somebody who's doing something similar or something like it. And at that point, we'll generally make a point to just not build one. We've never wanted to be the ones that, you know, offer the same stuff anybody else does if we could possibly help it. So a lot of times I'll use the show floor to try to find holes. I'm like, I would want one of these. Nobody's offering one of these. We'll have to see about making one of these. So it's kind of the same thing, but almost backwards from that. As far as influences just in general outside of the company, oh, yeah, I could walk the show floor for probably 3 solid weeks and still find stuff that pops up that I find fascinating or interesting or inspiring. There's a lot of very talented people doing a lot of really neat stuff out there.
What about you, Bobby? Anything?
Well, yeah, I mean, Alex hit it right on the head there. One of the things I always make sure I do is I go to the show floor and I look at what I want, both as a buyer for my haunted attractions that I run, but also as a vendor, what's out there that I haven't seen yet, or I had something in my head that I really wanted and didn't have time to make myself, and I really wanted to get it at the show, and I was praying somebody had it. And if no one has it, then that's my cue to say, all right, let's go ahead and make it. Otherwise, that person has it, and it is awesome, and I need one right now. I just wish I had a bigger checkbook.
Have you ever had one of those cases where it's like, oh, my God, I got this great idea in my head. I'm going to build this, and you've got a prototype, and you just couldn't get it to Transworld, and you get there, and 3 vendors have basically what you were thinking of?
You know, you'd think I'd say yes to that, but no. We do our absolute best to make sure that whatever we carry is stuff that other vendors don't have. You know, it's such a niche market that we don't want to, you know, step on anyone's toes or make anyone, you know, uncomfortable. So whenever anybody has one that's in our head, well, you know, we just forget about it and buy it because I want one anyway. So I can't say that I've ever had it personally happen to me, though. I've never thought of something, went through and made it, didn't get it to Transworld, and then saw it at Transworld. But that might just be a stroke of luck. I feel like that's probably happened to at least every other person. But for me personally, I don't. It hasn't happened yet. It might this year, though. It's something I really want to make. I can't release it, but I don't know if I'll be able to get it to Transworld. It will definitely be at Midwest, pending it's not at Transworld.
That's got to be depressing. How about you, Alex? Anything similar?
No, so far, we've been pretty fortunate. I generally won't bring anything to the prototype stage until we've really kind of done due diligence and looked around to see what people are offering and making sure we're not just offering another, because that just clouds the waters, and then we're not really going to sell enough of them, and then the person who came up with the concept isn't really going to sell enough, so we generally will make sure that we're set on doing it before we even get into the prototype early molding phases of it.
Excellent. So looking at the clock here, looks like we probably should start winding this down just a little bit. I know you like going to St. Louis. It's nice, centrally located, everything like that. If they said one day that they're going to move to city X, Y, or Z, how far would you guys travel to keep going to Transworld? I mean, if they said they were going to Los Angeles or New York or Nashville or, you know, BFE someplace, is there a distance that would prevent you guys from bringing your product out and displaying it?
Nothing would bother me, really, as long as it's in the continental U.S. and it's something we can load up a truck and trailer and make it to. We don't worry that much. We'll just make a point to find all the good barbecue restaurants between here and there, and we're pretty well set.
Well, that was one of the big problems when it came out to Vegas in 2008, and I think it came back in 2009, too, was the fact that because everybody was so used to being out there, coming out to Vegas because of the freight costs and everything, would that be something that would deter you?
You know,
I don't know if it would for Transworld. It might for another show if it was like a – I don't know that we could do a show like that if it was like a small show.
Yeah, because they were out here 2008, and it was my first time going to any of the conventions like that, and I was told that was actually a smaller vendor floor for the Haunt area than what it would normally would be out at St. Louis. So, and one of the big complaints again was because of the freight costs. So that's why I asked, because of the distance, would that deter you got from one come out to this way if they decide to move it again,
and
or would you prefer
record,
something closer?
And for the record, from what I've heard from Jen Braverman, they're staying in St. Louis for at least the next 2 to 3 years. So, not anything you have to worry about anytime soon. So,
well, that's good because I want to see the museum every year.
Yeah, if I miss City Museum or Pappy's, there's going to be a problem.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If you miss Pappy's, you're screwed. What's the point?
I think in the past, a lot of the comments with accessibility of trade shows is actually the Rocky Mountains, especially like businesses like yours, if they're loading up into a U-Haul and got to take it up there. It's just such a headache and everything, and that does add on to the freight. I think that was the big comment factor in that one, you know, keep it on one side of the Rockies or the other.
Well,
since you guys brought up the museums and everything, what do you guys like to do during Transworld? Otherwise.
After hours.
After hours, thank you.
Dude, I'm from Texas. We like to eat. That's how we do things. We have our itinerary of restaurants already set up. Of course, we'll hit the Haunts while we're there, and, I mean, City Museum is just an incredible experience. We never miss
that. The fact that I'm trying to get a mental picture of you crawling around all that stuff in a kilt, and
nobody wants to fall behind me. Everybody fights and have to crawl behind me or under me. And all those floors in there are graded.
You bring up the rear if you're in my group. There you go.
Right. Always.
We'll have a roundtable on wearing kilts at conventions at some point in the near future. Jim and I also partake of that on occasion. But
it's good for you.
It can be quite the frightening experience. But anyway, looking at the clock on the wall here, let me just ask you a slightly unrelated question. Gentlemen, how were your haunts this past season? And I believe at least one of you did Valentine's Day type thing. And are any of you guys planning on doing any more off-season events at your haunts? Bobby, how about you?
All right. Well, our October season, was phenomenal. We entered our third year as the only Scream in town, and we had an absolute blast. The actors were crazy. We renovated all three of our attractions, and the reviews were great. I absolutely loved it, and we just did Valentine's Day, and I never expected it to be so wild. It was our first time doing it. We had the second coldest night of the year with a low of -2 and a wind chill of -15, and it was outdoors, and it was the most absolutely frigid night, and we actually shut down a highway. We put through on a Friday night about 2,600 people, completely unexpected.
Holy crap.
This all showed up at once. It was insane. And people loved it or were really mad at how long it took to get into the parking lot, but it was phenomenal. And Saturday night it snowed, and they were so diehard and determined to come back, we even put through a little less, but about 800 people on Saturday night, and were beyond thrilled. So we absolutely loved it. If we do it again, I have to move something inside. I have to be able to do it inside. That's the only way we could do it again. It was really cold, but we loved
awesome.
It.
Awesome. Give us a plug and a website for your haunt.
All right. Well, our haunt is called The Only Scream in Town, and you can find us online at www.theonlyscreamintown.com.
Excellent. How about you, Alex?
We had a good season this year. 2014 in our 42-year history was the biggest season we'd ever had. We don't do any off-season openings, mainly because we've recently just expanded the park, and we really need a couple of years to get things a little more set in stone and get some more construction knocked out before we're going to do any off-season openings. So we spent Friday night and Saturday night hitting some of the other haunts here in the market that had opened up. I think we had 6 or 7 that opened
nice.
Up. So we generally have pretty good amount of options on off-season openings and holidays and Friday the 13th and stuff like that.
Sweet. Give a plug and a website for yours.
It's reindeermanor.com.
Is that in Red Oak?
Yeah, we're in Red Oak. It's actually been here since this was still just county. We became Red Oak after we've been open about 30 years.
Excellent. Well, gentlemen, any other questions for our guests before we call it?
Crickets are chirping.
Your silence is deafening.
I had no idea you were so thorough.
You've answered a lot of good questions here, and that's why we love having vendors on there, because they can't wait to talk about their products, even though some of them like to keep it a secret until they get there. But again, looking at the clock, it is time we wind this up. I want to thank Bobby from Decimated Designs and Alex from When Hinges Creak. Bobby, aside from giving the Only Scream in Town website, how can people get more information about Decimated Designs? Maybe do a little research before they come out, so they'll and maybe see what they want, so they can walk right up to your booth and say, "I want that one in blue."
Awesome. Well, you guys can find us online at decimateddesigns.com, and we are doing a huge every day leading up to Transworld, starting from when this show will air, a new product release. So we'll be featuring a new product every day until Transworld, from about the time this show airs, on our Facebook page. So make sure you like us on Facebook at Decimated Designs.
Excellent. And Alex?
You can find us online at either WhenHingesCreek.com or HauntedHardwareStore.com. And most of our product line is actually available in the Fright Props catalog. So when you pick your Fright Props catalog up this year, you should be able to find quite a bit of our stuff available in there as well.
Excellent. Well, Bobby and Alex, I want to thank you guys for taking time out of your busy schedules as you're no doubt making your final preparations to head down to St. Louis for Transworld 2015. I also want to thank our excellent hosts, including Storm.
I may be Scottish, but I will not be wearing a kilt at any trade shows. You're welcome.
Yes, do thank you. And the ransoms will keep coming in to prevent that. The Unknown Scare... The Unknown Scare Actor.
Remember this mantra, Gold Bond is my friend.
Yeah. The Haunstermentalist, Jerry Vane.
He says that, yet he was whining like a girl.
We need to get a kilt on you, son.
Both of you. Bullshit.
My name is Drew Badger, who just went to his first Valentine's Day haunt down at the Haunted Pyramids in Lawndale, North Carolina. Had a great time. Hope you guys got a chance to go out and visit your off-season haunts. March has a Friday the 13th. Hope you'll get the chance to visit one there. And if not, we'll definitely hope to see you at Transworld Booth 1715 for the Haunters Digest Big Scary Show booth. On behalf of the co-hosts and our guests, this is the Roundtable of Terror here on the Big Scary Show.
Damned to the Night on the Big Scary Show.
I've locked all the exits.
Greetings, listeners. The Unknown Scare Actor here live at Days of the Dead Culture Shock in Indianapolis, Indiana. It's too cold outside. It's hot in here, and the young lady sitting next to me is even hotter. Her name is Christy Ray. She's the star of a film called Pieces of Talent. Christy, how are you?
Blushing. How are you, Jim?
I'm doing great. How has the con been for you so far?
We've actually had a lot of fun. It's, I don't know, midday on Saturday. Yesterday was a little slow, but today we sold like 4 DVDs in the first 10 minutes we were open this morning. So we've had a really busy weekend. It's kind of, I mean, you're standing here with us. We're like multitasking here. It's Joe. Joe's here with us. He's the director of the film Pieces of Talent. Joe and I with our marketing director Stephanie, so we've got like octopus arms. We're like signing autographs, getting people's information for the sequel, and doing all this like marketing while here trying to grab people to watch the trailer too. So we're hustling pretty hard. I think it's going good.
Hustling.
Yeah, we saw you before they even opened the doors. You were out passing out your cards and getting people to come by. And you know, every time I came by, it was a little too busy to sit down and give a couple minutes, but I finally got you for a couple
awesome.
Of minutes.
Well, I appreciate it.
So why don't you guys tell us a little bit about Pieces of Talent?
Okay. Who wants to start?
Pieces of Talent is a dark love story, I think. It's a character study. It centers around David Long and Charlotte Randall, played by Christy Ray. And she's an aspiring actress. And David's a filmmaker. And their paths cross by chance, and they develop a friendship. And Charlotte signs up for David's next project, not necessarily understanding what she's signing up for. So it gets interesting after that.
One thing I think people really love about this movie in the horror genre is that you care. You really care for the characters. We take time in the movie for you to discover who they are and what makes them tick and why they are the way that they are. So you're invested in their future, and that's why we decided to make a second film as well. So there's Pieces of Talent now that's been you know, released. We have it on DVD. It's for sale. You can get it online, piecesoftalent.com. But also we're in development of a sequel. It's called A Missing Piece, so it follows the same characters that people still care about. We have kind of like a cult following, which is really flattering and awesome. I mean, like this guy right here, Brandon Yates, he's like one of our mega fans, and I just met him for the first time today, but he's like all over the internet just blasting this movie, telling everybody about it. People show up and they say, oh, Brandon sent me here. Wherever we are across the country, we do these conventions all the time, and it's really nice to hear that people have already heard about the movie and they're excited about it, or they already bought it and they want to buy it again and give it to their friends and that kind of thing.
One thing that we did on purpose was, you know, we're self-distributing this thing. This is 100% independently done, and like Christy said, it's very grassroots, and we maintain that personal connection and that friendship with everyone that supported our film, which doesn't happen as often as it should. And this is a community, you know, friends and fans, and to have, you know, a group of friends that are as passionate about our project as we were creating it is beautiful, and we can't do it without them. It's been really extremely flattering, and
it's like a street team, you
it's
know?
Awesome,
it's
man.
Like
it's,
really
and
a lot
just
of dedication.
And it kind of came out of nowhere over the last few months, and it's been really fun. So,
well, when you have a passion for something like that and to see it just grow and just grow, whatever you're doing, it's wonderful. I mean, I've been in the haunted house business for 10 years, and people recognize me when I go places. It's like, oh, we know you. You're the unknown scare actor. Worst kept secret in the business. But I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about you guys. I'm talking about your film. I have a lot of listeners that are horror and haunt related that listen to the show. Every 2 weeks we release a new show completely free on iTunes. You can find us on our website. You can download it streaming, and you guys can hear yourselves.
Great.
So, okay, you've got Pieces of Talent, and what was the name of the sequel again? I'm sorry.
A Missing Piece.
A Missing Piece. Anything else in the pipeline after that?
We have a couple more projects in development with my production company, Shutterblade Media, and one of them is called Azalea, and it's more of a, you know, haunting, you know, type of deal, haunting story. But right now, we're really just focusing on the follow-up film, Missing Piece, and you know, next in the pipeline would be Azalea, but that's probably a year or so down the street right now.
So, do you guys have Facebook, social media, all those things? This is an opportunity for you to plug all this for all my listeners to go find out where you are.
Great. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/piecesoftalent. If you search for A Missing Piece, we're also keeping up that page as well. Go give us a like, and we will absolutely stay in touch with you as fans. You can buy the film online at piecesoftalent.com. We're also on Twitter at piecesoftalent, and we have a really fun Instagram account. called at Obey the Tape, OBEYTHETAPE, where we post all kinds of shenanigans. And a lot of it is like our road travels. We're always doing these conventions and we just have silly videos. But also, you know, when we meet fans and stuff at these conventions, we post their pictures. And it's nice. People like to see themselves and, you know, tag their friends and whatever. But
we have an interactive crowdfunding thing going on for the sequel. And what it is if you go to piecesoftalent.com/amissingpiece and you donate, you actually receive mail from the main character of the upcoming film, snail mail and email, and it's a really interactive experience. And the perk is the film itself, but you also get collectible items, letters, pictures, insight into the plot before the film's even released, so it's truly interactive.
Well, it seems to me like you guys have really thought this through, and, you know, looking at your banner and seeing all the awards that you guys have gotten for your film is just amazing, and it's got to make you guys feel awesome.
You know, this is our first movie together, and Joe's first feature as a director. I mean, this is like his debut, and so I think it sets the ceiling really high, but we're just excited to, you know, reach for excellence again and hopefully achieve it and give people what they want to see. It's inspiring to have it be so well received, but it's also challenging in a good way to just keep pushing us to make better art. And, you know, we do it for the fans because they love it, and it's nice to, somebody loves to watch you do what you love to do. It's just, it's like a blessing all around. It's great.
I couldn't agree more. Christy, Joe, thank you so much for your time. I'm looking forward to watching the film as soon as I get home, and as soon as I can get the digital streaming of the sequel, I'm looking forward
Great.
To that one,
Thank
too.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And I'm the Unknown Scare Actor with Pieces of Talent, and we are out.
CreepyCollection.com. The most disturbing, realistic, handmade props and animatronics for the horror industry. Now featuring FearFlex technology. Voted best zombie props of 2011 and 2012. CreepyCollection.com for all your gore and more.
And ladies and gentlemen, it's time to give away a great prize, courtesy of Screamline Studios. That's right, it's time for the March edition of the Gruesome Giveaway. Thank you to our fine sponsor, Screamline Studios. Be sure to go to ScreamlineStudios.com and check out all their great stuff. Now, you know how this works. I'm about to ask you a question, and the answer is in this show. So if you're listening carefully and you know the answer, be sure to email it to us along with your name and number to contest@bigscaryshow.com before midnight on March 16th, and you just might be selected as our potential winner. So without further ado, the question for the March Gruesome Giveaway is, what will be the sequel to the film Pieces of Talent? If you think you know that, be sure to email contest@bigscaryshow with the answer, your name, and your number, and we'll randomly select a winner from all the applicants. And thank you again to Screamline Studios for providing all these great prizes to all our listeners, and good luck. 3, 2, 1. And ladies and gentlemen, if you've been following the show since the beginning of the year, you know we're talking conventions. We've talked to HauntCon and Transworld and West Coast Haunters Convention, but now it's time to stay out west and go to Reno, Nevada, the biggest little city in the world, and talk about Haunt X, a second-year con. Went to it last year, had a great time, a lot of fun, a lot of growing pains, I guess. They learned a lot of cool stuff. They had some great classes. They had some great vendors and all that cool stuff, and I'm sure they've taken everything they learned from last year and have made it 100 times better this year, and it's a really cool show. I highly encourage you, if you live out on the West Coast, to attend Haunt X. Check it all out. I've got, as is our custom, I've got one of the organizers, Mr. Steve Kohlberg. How you doing?
I'm doing great, thanks.
In a nutshell, the who, what, where, when, why, what is Haunt X?
Haunt X is a haunters convention. We're based in Reno. It takes place April 30th to May 3rd. April 30th is our all-day pre-show expert-level classes. The trade show takes place on Saturday and Sunday, and Friday is dedicated to education.
So it's what you would call a standard Haunters convention, not a horror con with a bunch of celebrities and signing autographs and stuff, but you're going to have vendors and you're going to have the education classes, tours, and all that stuff, similar to a Haunt Con or a Midwest or something like that.
That's correct, except more fun.
Oh, except more fun. And you're in Reno at a casino, so, you know, hey, how bad can it be? The Circus Casino, kind of cool, plus it's connected to a bunch of others, you know, with all those shows and buffets and... And I think CeeLo played there last year while it was on.
Right.
And some people
that's
I know
right.
that went to the show said it was good. So, you know, you don't know who's going to be there this year. We'll just have to find out. But tell us a little bit about, you know, what you've got going. Last year you were very heavy into the educational tracks. You had some great teachers coming in and teaching lots and lots of cool things. So what have you got on track for 2015?
Well, we're going to build on our strengths. The education is even better this year. I think we put on probably the geekiest Halloween show out there. We're going to be teaching the soldering workshop we did last year was mm-hmm. a big hit. We had a three-part prop programming class that I think we're going to be building on this year as well. We've got an update on the using LEDs in your Haunt as a technology.
That's always important.
We're also real strong in makeup. Dutch Bahari is going to be there. Franklin.
He was on Skin Wars, right?
Exactly. Finalist for Skin Wars. Excellent. He did some amazing stuff on that show.
I remember him doing a body paint model, and that was just stellar stuff.
And in fact, he'll do a demo at the show for us.
Okay.
Ken Franklin from Face FX will be there as well. He's an incredibly talented airbrush guy as well. We've got two or three other makeup artists who will be demoing on and off throughout the show, teaching classes. So we're really strong in the tech. We're really strong in the makeup. Operations-wise, we've got some of the biggest haunt owners on the West Coast coming in to teach classes. So we're looking to balance things out and really just bringing things up another notch in year two.
Now, I think one of the things that we reported on in the news, you're doing an animatronics class where people can learn to build their own movable props, pneumatics, and animatronics and such like that?
Yeah, Steve Cosey, who you might know from the Haunt forums as Hallstaff, is teaching a class called Building Animatronics for Home Haunters. And in this class, Steve is going to take it from the very most basic, hey, it's a wiper motor and it moves the arm back and forth, all the way through using pneumatics and servos, microprocessor controlling your props, talking skulls. He'll walk you through how to do all that kind of stuff yourself. He was on the cover of the Halloween episode or issue of Nuts and Volts magazine.
Oh, very nice.
He did a skeleton-based voodoo priest that talks and moves his arms, and he'll show you how that works.
With this being kind of geared more towards the home haunter, or will professional haunters also get something out of this as well?
It's aimed right up the middle. If you're a home haunter and you've got big ambitions, you will certainly wow the neighborhood with this. And if you're a pro haunter and you want to save a few bucks and do some of your own basic animatronics, absolutely, you'll learn stuff in the class as well.
Excellent. What about the convention in general? Is that going to be more towards the home haunter? I mean, there's a lot of home haunters on the West Coast, especially in Northern California and Washington, Oregon, and all that. Or is it, you know, if you have a big haunt out in California someplace, or in Nevada or Utah, Salt Lake City, and that, I mean, how much of a benefit is the quote-unquote professional haunter going to get versus the home haunter versus the, say, haunt enthusiast?
We like to think that home haunters are smart people, so we're shooting for high home haunter and pros. We feel everybody can come up to a higher level, so we're going to teach it that way.
Okay.
You know, if you're a pro, we're bringing in other pros who have learned things just like everybody else does, and they'll help you take your pro haunt up a notch as well.
I understand you've also a recent guest on our show, Steve O, is going to be coming in and helping with a little bit of the Garage of Evils type work with the education and things.
That's correct. Steve's also doing one of the extended pre-show classes. He's going to be doing a scenic design from the ground up class. We'll start with SketchUp. He'll teach you techniques in the foundations of prop building and scene building, and then he'll teach you detail work and finish work as well.
Oh, nice.
We'll take you from the ground up.
And he's always a fun person to hang around with at the bars, I'm sure, as well.
He's a great teacher, and yeah, he's just a ton of fun at these shows.
And I think he told us he actually won some money at the slots last year, so you never know.
He's the one.
Yeah, exactly. As far as pre-show tours and everything, I know last year you did to, I'm not sure if it was a ghost town or a haunted town or something like that. What's going on this year?
Sure. Nearby is a city called Virginia City. It was built in the late 1700s, so it's literally an authentic Old West town. And it has what are called some of the most haunted locations in the country. For example, the Washoe Club has had a number of television shows to do the paranormal investigations on it. The Silver Queen Hotel, same kind of story. So we're putting together some professional quality paranormal investigations. And for the folks who are a little bit less into the ghosts, we're also going to be putting together an explore the town kind of trip with a little bit of pub crawl thrown in.
Oh, very nice. Is it an occupied town? People live there, or is it abandoned?
It's an occupied town.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, it's up and running. There are restaurants and bars and a school and all that. But like I say, it was built in the late 1700s, so the sidewalks are literally made out of wood.
Oh, very cool, and it's just like something out of the Old West. So exactly. If you like the Old West, you like the paranormal stuff, you like saloons, you'll probably really enjoy that tour. Is that on Friday, or is that on Thursday? When is that?
That's on Thursday night.
Okay.
Friday night, we're doing a scavenger hunt and Garage of Evil welcome party.
Okay.
And the two actually kind of are interlaced, and I've got high hopes for it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. We're working with a company called Goose Chase that puts on an electronic scavenger hunt. And what you do is, basically one of the reasons people come to cons is to meet other haunters.
Sure.
And what we're going to do is try to knock down the standing around staring at each other part. So we're going to put together teams of five people, and they're going to get clues that, you know, find a zombie pirate is literally going to be one of the clues. And
I assume there is going to be a zombie pirate somewhere in Reno.
Why, yes. And in fact, he's standing in front of a bar.
Oh, okay.
As a matter
Fancy
of fact.
Fancy that.
Funny how this works out. And the beauty of this app that we're using is what we'll ask you to do is, hey, take a picture of your group in front of the zombie pirate. In real time, it gets posted to a leaderboard, which we're going to display on the wall of the Garage of Evil party. So what you're going to be doing is everybody sees what everybody else's score is. You get extra points to doing crazy stuff. So the folks who don't want to go out get to sit around, drink, make fun of the people who do. The people who want to go out are entered into winning prizes.
Oh, very nice. So that sounds like a lot of fun, actually.
I think I have really high hopes for it.
And this is Friday?
This is Friday night.
What's going on with Saturday after the first day of the trade show?
Saturday night we're doing the costume ball. One of the things we learned last year is not everybody likes to dance and the loud music. So what we've done is we've actually rented two rooms side by side, and we're setting up the second room as our Carnival of Evil. And it's a little bit quieter environment. It's going to have arcade games and some entertainment, which will provide a reason for everybody to come to the event, even if they're not into dancing.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
Coincidentally, they're also, Reno's famous for its pub crawls. And my buddy Ed Atkins, who runs the Vampire Pub Crawl, they're doing a Vampire Pub Crawl the very same day. And there will be hundreds, if not thousands, of people participating in that at the same time as we're doing our costume ball. So it should be crazy.
So, and those people are invited to come to the costume ball as well,
correct?
Of course. This is open to the general public. This is not a closed off, you have to be a haunter or something to go to, right?
Nope, absolutely. More the merrier.
Excellent. And Sunday, last day of the trade show, the trade show's only Saturday and Sunday. And
correct.
So after a full day of trade shows, education, seminars, and all that stuff, how are you going to kind of wind things down?
You know, last year we did a cheesy movie and pizza party.
It was
everybody was exhausted, so it was just the right thing for the folks who were staying over for the night. So we're going to reprise that. I'm working on getting, and I can't let you know the title yet, but a screening copy of a movie, comedy slasher movie, which stars a bunch of guys you'll recognize.
Okay. So maybe an advanced screening is in the works. Who knows?
We're trying.
Excellent. Yeah, let us know when that happens. So for all of this, the pre-show to Virginia City, the scavenger hunt, vampire crawl, costume ball, cheesy movie night, vendors, all day kind of trade show stuff, and I assume you've got great vendors coming in as always. What is something like that going to set somebody back? I mean, if they want to come in and say, well, you know, I live 3 hours away, I live in NorCal, I live in Tahoe, I live in Portland or something, and I just want to make the drive down, mm-hmm. what can somebody expect to shell out for something for all this fun?
Well, it's a Chinese menu, if you will. So let's start with the good news. Circus is really affordable. Rooms average $75 a night.
Ooh, that's nice.
So, yeah, right off the bat, you're not looking at a ton of money to get in. A three-day show admission, which gets you all the seminar education, is $95.
So that includes all those seminars.
That's correct.
Very nice.
And then past that, you get to pick and choose. Like most cons, if you take the tour, we have a posted price on the website. Scavenger hunt, there's a small entry fee, but everybody's going to get that back in prizes. But by and large, we're probably the most affordable show out there just
Excellent.
Because the room rates, and Reno's not a bad town to get to for a lot of folks.
And you can fly into Tahoe Airport or Reno Tahoe, whatever it's called, or Vegas. It's a short hop away, and it's a short hop away from San Francisco and Sacramento and things by plane. Drive in, so they have interstates out in Nevada, right?
Yeah.
Of course they do.
Yes, indeed, they do.
So, go ahead.
There's nothing on the. There's nothing to see from the interstates in Nevada, but they're there.
Oh, it's beautiful scenery to somebody, right? Come on now. So, for anybody wanting this information, they're intrigued at the prospect of going out to the biggest little city in the world, checking out casinos, checking out the trade show. I assume, you know, great buffets at the casinos. We did sample a couple of those. The scavenger hunt, vampire night, cheesy movie night, Virginia City, pick and choose what you want, all this great stuff. How can they get that information, see a list of the vendors, see a list of the schedules, and all that good stuff?
Why, thank you for asking. You can get the information online. We're at www.hauntex.com, and we're regularly posting updates. Facebook, we're pushing information to as well, so like us on, and you'll get updates as we post them.
Well, Steve Kohlberg, first of all, I want to say thank you for HauntX being a sponsor of the Big Scary News, which we are, or Deadline News, I'm sorry, which we're very happy to have you in there, and we wish you nothing but success with HauntX 2015. I know the Big Scary Show will have a presence out there. We would certainly love to be a continual part of it. We shall have to see. And it looks like a whole lot of fun, and if you live on the West Coast, and it's only a few hours from everywhere, apparently, go on out to HauntX and check it out. We did. We had a great time, and we know you will, too. So once again, thank you, Steve Kohlberg from HauntX, HauntX.com, for everything you need. I'm Drew Badger, and we are out.
Do you remember your worst nightmares? What is it that fills you with dread? Do you hear things go bump in the night? Well, it's time. It's time to face your fear. Brought to you by Dark Spectre Custom Couture. Check out Nez's work at www.darkspectre.com. Couture for the creatures of the night. Call me fear. Call me terror. Call me a phobia. No matter how hard you try to forget me, I'm still there, waiting in the deepest recesses of your mind. I can make even the bravest soul appear a coward, and there is nothing you can do about it. I am the first thing to make you cry, and the last thing on your mind when your time is up. I am fear incarnate. Can you face me? Always remember one thing, Haunters. Everyone is afraid of something.
Are you feeling just a little bit crazy? Are you looking for the right costume to match that craziness? Then you need to go to Von Caron Productions and check out the Insane Ensemble. If you've got a mad scientist is ready to start working on a monster, you've got to check out the Psychosurgical Coat. if you're ready just to start butchering people up, they've got a dissection smock. Or if you think you're just a little bit too crazy and need to be restrained, how about a commitment coat? Von Caron Productions and the Insane Ensemble, committed to haunters who expect quality. And remember, Halloween is but once all year. Von Caron Productions. Check them out at www.voncaron.com. That's VONCHARON, Von Caron Productions.
Broadcasting to you from the darkest reaches of the earth, this is A Haunt Minute. And now, with this week's commentary, Storm.
All right. So one of the things that's important this time of year is people working on ideas for their haunts. And you always have somebody out there going, hey, you know what? I don't know what this idea. I'm going to try something different. Clowns and hillbillies, clowns. And we're starting to lack the originality. And it doesn't take much to find some place for inspiration. That's right. You can find inspiration just from the news. I have three amazing examples from this week's news that should inspire your haunts and your patrons' nightmares. First of all, you got the article talking about this little girl who's been feeding crows since she was a baby, and now the crows bring her things. And this is like, oh, cute, yay, little child with the crows, bring her stuff. What happens in a few years? What happens when, you know, somebody stands her up at the junior prom, It's crows pecking out eyeballs and bringing fingers and pieces of people to her. That's right, That's some dark powers that can go very well awry. Yep, little girl with army of crows. And let's not go away from the whole bird thing yet. Oh, I do not trust rodents. Rodents have successfully killed off 1/3 of the human race at one time. Don't trust them. Don't like them. So imagine my horror as they have taken flight. That's right, a weasel in London was filmed jumping on the back of a woodpecker and taking flight. Now, again, it didn't last too long because it's a freaking weasel on the back of a woodpecker. But it wasn't photoshopped. It was real. It happened. They're getting ready. So don't trust the squirrels either because they're the U.S. equivalent of weasels. And then, the third and favorite article this week, which should inspire your haunt and people's nightmares. Deer are carnivorous. That's right, Bambi is a psychotic killer that you didn't think it was. Now, trap cameras, different places around the world, different species of deer, witnessing them eating baby birds and any other helpless birds. Yes, that's right. And not by mistake. No, they're just coming over and munching. Oh, look, small helpless animal. Tom, Tom, Tom. That's right. Freaky deer carnivorous. And we may have never even known this. This could have been like this the whole time and we just didn't know. So take those ideas and go with it. Carnivorous man-eating deer. This should be on the Sci-Fi Channel. So, you know, don't let them get there first. Get in your haunt. See, you could have had Sharknado in your haunt, but no, you let them go with it first and Ian's hearing. So until next time, keep every minute scary.
Tune in next episode for another Haunt Minute. And in the meantime, share your opinions on the Big Scary Show Facebook page and on Twitter at Big Scary Storm.
Hey, this is Josh Gates from Sci-Fi's Destination Truth, encouraging you to check out HauntMinute.com.
Grey Robber. Army of the Dead. Scary Show.
Army of the Dead. Army of the Dead. Army of the Dead. Rising high, oh so frightening, a ghastly image to behold. You dead are.
Mask is too tight for my head. I can't see.
Where you don't have time to wait to be scared.
You're taking too long. Just throw something on and get to your scene.
Darkest fears unlimited. Masks, props, and blood that will make your haunt scary.
All right, this mask fits perfect, and parts of it are even pulsating. Finally, I'm gonna scare every night.
Oh my god!
DarkestFearsUnlimited.com.
As we slide back into the swamp where we hid the body, we would like to thank the following people and others. Virgil Franklin, Master of the Ether Muse. Von Charon Productions. Von Charon, VonCharon.com. Screamline Studios at ScreamlineStudios.com. We'd also like to thank the Four Ghosts. Storm, catch his ramblings at hauntminute.com. The Unknown Scare Actor, videos and more, unknownscareactor.com. The Hauntster medalist Jerry Vane, pick up his newest CD, Bodies in the Bayou, at jerryvane.com. Also available as a digital download on iTunes and all other digital media sites. And Drew Badger, actor, trainer, consultant, and more. RabbitBadger.biz. Be sure to tell us what you think. Send feedback to us at feedback at BigScaryShow.com. And keep sending in those news items. News@BigScaryShow.com. Be sure to follow and like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/BigScaryShow. Make sure to follow us on our new Twitter account at TheBigScaryShow. We just may occasionally tweet out some information that you won't find anywhere else. Be sure to search for The Big Scary Show on iTunes. And while you're there, please give us a review. We would appreciate it a lot. Tune in next time when we bring you the latest news and information from the world of haunting and horror. And thank you once again for listening. Without you, we are nothing. Good night, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and others. This is The Big Scary Show.
The Big Scary Show is copyright Big Scary Show LLC, and no rebroadcast of this show may be made without express permission of the owners. All music used on The Big Scary Show is used with expressed permission of the artists themselves.